Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Thank you, Reggie. So this is Take Charge of Your Health. We'll start over again. And last week, we had a very interesting topic. We were talking about quite a dirty subject. We were talking about poo, our bowels, our poop, and what it means to us in terms of our health. And I also opened it up to the audience. And it's interesting because this was a very appropriate response in that bowel problems are one of the largest problems that we see in the country. And we got the largest number of calls. We had four people waiting to ask questions by the end of the show as we were still answering questions. So we're going to do the same thing today. We're going to continue the subject, because we know there are people out there that want to speak about this. I'm going to open up the phone lines right now, and we're talking about bowel. We're talking about poop. We're talking about what's normal, what's abnormal, and if it is abnormal, what we can do to make it normal and keep it normal, and why is it important to us. So these are the subjects that we'd like to focus on. And the number to call is 212-209-2877. And with that said, Carol, how would you like to begin?
Well, I had so many things that we didn't even get to last week. I thought it was imperative that we keep going here. So what's a good poo supposed to be like, and how many poos should you have? I found one reference that said 3 times a week is a normal poo schedule, that you can still consider that normal. However, I don't agree with that. What is your poo supposed to look like? It should be long and smooth and S-shaped. And that indicates that you're eating enough fiber. It doesn't matter much if it's a little thinner, if it's broken up, but that would be the optimal looking poo. You should have no pain. You should feel like you're emptied. And I think that's a very, very important point. I think that if you're not having proper bowel evacuation, some gets left behind, and then the poo that stays left behind gets more and more dehydrated. You should be able to produce a poo in 12 seconds when you decide to do it. If you're having to push when you're pooing, that could be a problem with hemorrhoids. And then there could be foods, and we've talked about this a little bit already, gluten, lactose sensitivity, creating some inflammation can be going on. And then we have a warning to not hold your poo. It's really important when you get the urge to not kind of squash it. Sometimes it's very inconvenient. You can't help but. But this is not a good bowel practice to hold your poo. Sometimes this happens in kids. It happened to my kid. She was not liking to poo. And she would try to hold it. and hold it and hold it. So we had some problems with that. Poo can be colored. It can be green if you've been eating a lot of greens or green shakes. Could be red if you are eating like beetroot. So I'm not talking about bleeding. You can see, sometimes you can see fresh blood, which would be more likely to be from bleeding hemorrhoids. And really, really dark could be some bleeding along the whole gastrointestinal tract. And that should be checked out further if that's happening. You could have mucousy poos. That's not good if, in the case of diarrhea. That means that some of the gut wall is getting chewed up and eliminated, which is not good. But to have some kind of mucus in your poo, if you have a little amount, not to worry. So what do you think about that?
I think that's a nice outline. But let's talk about why. Why do people have bowel problems? And how can we look at making that normal? We know that with the American diet, it's very low in fiber. And fiber is a non-digestible fiber, which then creates the size and the shape of the stool. Now, fiber is very important. In from 20 to 40 grams would be a very good amount to take in. And Americans, if you look at the diet, if you look at the standard diet, are in the 6 to 10 gram range. 20 to 40 grams really isn't difficult to get. If you're eating foods like vegetables and fruits and beans. Beans are very high in two types of fiber, soluble and insoluble. Potatoes, particularly sweet potatoes, have high amounts of fiber. So increasing your fiber intake, chia seeds, hemp, added to your foods, all can increase your fiber, and it helps to balance your stool. But there is a caveat here, and the caveat is when you increase your fiber, you need to increase your fluid intake, because without an adequate fluid intake, the fiber can become constipating. So drinking plenty of water, particularly right now when the weather is so hot and humid and we're sweating, so we're releasing a lot of that fluid through our skin, it would be important to not only drink adequate amounts of fluids, water, but to drink a little excess water right now in this extreme heat that we're experiencing. We also like to consume probiotics, but natural probiotics, fermented foods that can be very beneficial. You know, just the standard yogurt that's pasteurized and non-organic is not really a good probiotic. It's not going to give you the benefit. You're going to get benefits of probiotics from kefir. You're going to get benefits of probiotic from fermented sauerkraut and fermented foods, kimchi. Those all can be very beneficial. I remember I used to live in Central America, and they used to peel pineapples. And then the peel of the pineapple, they put on the counter. Now, this was also very warm weather, with a weight on the top of it. and it would sit there overnight, day and night, on the counter for 3 or 4 days, usually about 3 days. And it would start bubbling, 2.5 to 3 days. It would start to bubble. It would be fermenting. And then they would take that and squeeze the peel, get all the fluid out of it, and serve it before the meal. And it was delicious. It was a digestive that had a large amount of natural probiotics. We can do that same thing with pineapple, and that's delicious, but we also can do it and put sliced up cabbage on our counter with a weight on it, and that will also ferment and give you a natural probiotic. Another thing to consider, and we didn't discuss this last week, is supplementation with magnesium. We know that magnesium is a national deficiency, and yet magnesium helps us maintain our bowels. Magnesium draws fluid into the bowel from the body and relaxes the muscles in the bowel to allow easier passage of stool through the bowel.
So that's magnesium in forms like milk of magnesia, magnesium oxide, and then there's magnesium citrate. You can get these little 4-ounce bottles. They're even used for preparation for colonoscopes. So you can get some of these, which are very much hydrating to the bowel. But most forms of magnesium do draw some fluid to the bowel, which is very, very important.
And then we can support our liver. We forget that the liver is an essential piece of our digestion and supports our bowel. And we do that. We support our liver through eating appropriate and adequate fats. I love egg yellows for high choline, which is really powerful and important for the liver to have, for its ability to make and release cholesterol, which is converted to bile, which allows our body to break down fats and reabsorb healthy and good fats.
So this is also something you'd see in your stool. Your bowel movement could have fat in it as well, because you have been unable to digest and absorb it. You would have a fatty stool.
And that we don't really need to have. Another thing is, get moving. When you're exercising, what happens? Your muscles get stronger and they're able to stimulate digestion. Another piece of that is it also supports lymph motion, which goes into the bowel, which is a fat, which goes into the bowel and helps the stimulation, the peristalsis of the intestines to allow bowel to move through your body. But then guess what? Go on, Carol. I'm sorry.
Okay, so right at the top of the list that I made was stress.
Yes.
Stress really, really affects your ability to have bowel movements. And what happens, this is part of our autonomic nervous system, or that part of the nervous system that just goes on with us without us paying attention. So there's a sympathetic nervous system, which puts us in the fight or flight sense, that you're all revved up with huge amounts of adrenaline, and that puts you in one state. And then we have the parasympathetic, which is the rest and digest. And part of that digest is a stimulation of this very large nerve in our body, the vagus nerve, and that carries the stool down. So what happens is in our daily lives, we're having so much stress, we're having a great deal of difficulty becoming parasympathetic so you can digest more easily. So I wanted to bring up a time I took a heart rate variability test, which does give you an indicator where if you are in the sympathetic mode or the relaxed parasympathetic mode. Just at that time, I was really sympathetic. I asked the people, what should I do? Should I do yoga? Should I meditate? What can I do? They said, oh, you're too stressed to do that. They said, you're even too stressed. You can't do that. But this was after 3 cups of coffee, which brings into another thing. Alcohol and caffeine can also affect your bowel movements. So caffeine is a bit stimulant to many of us. We have a cup of coffee and then we have a bowel movement following. It helps stimulate the tract, but too much is a problem and shuts off this calming digestive state that we should be in.
And also dehydrates us.
Yes.
So too much, a little bit of caffeine can be very beneficial. And I know many people, they have a cup of coffee so they can pass bowel and they do it every day and that's their program. But too much alcohol or too much caffeine, both in the same, can very much dehydrate us and literally shift our ability to manage our bowels. Not many people think of stress when they think of their bowels, but I think we have to start looking at that. I see people walking down the street eating pizzas or eating different food, big sandwiches, just walking down the street. And I look at them and I see them and I say, my goodness, what's happening to their intestines?
Right, right, right.
Exactly, because they're not focusing on their foods, on their digestion. You know, digestion is literally a sacred piece of our health and our body and our body management. And that is so much why people sit, they hold hands, they say prayers right before they receive their food. One thing, it takes them out of a stressful mode. Two, it puts them into an appreciative mode, which again, is exactly what Carol is talking about in terms of sympathetic and parasympathetic. It puts them into an appreciative mode where they are there able to even taste and chew and focus and calmly begin the digestive process. The number to call, 212-209-2877. I know you have lots to add to this conversation. I heard it last week. And so let's see what you've got to say this week. You must have many questions also, because although our bowel is daily and something that we deal with daily, many of us have very little understanding of why and how it, why it's happening, how it's happening, what is normal, what is abnormal. And that's what we're here to answer today. 212-209-2877. You know, Carol, very often women have more irregular bowel cycles, and it seems to be hormonal related. Can you help us out a little bit on understanding that?
Yes, particularly just before bleeding, before menses, in the premenstrual, the PMS time of the female cycle. Many women notice bowel changes. They either become more constipated or some have diarrhea. One of the things that can make this happen is this is when progesterone gets to be a little bit higher, and when there is an overgrowth of candida going on, this boost of progesterone can also boost that amount of candida, which in turn can be causing those bowel changes going either direction, diarrhea or constipation. And once they pass through to the first part of the cycle, that tends to self-correct. And this is not at all unusual, and that's probably what's going on. I'd like to bring in another hormone that we haven't talked about yet is thyroid. Our thyroid hormone, active thyroid hormone, regulates every cell in our body. And it really has to do with our motion of the movement of food through our gut. If we have low thyroid, that is slowed down tremendously. So when
with a high thyroid, you have chronic diarrhea. So thyroid is an essential piece of normal or regulating our bowels. But there's another piece of this irregular bowel that women experience. And it's very common that women's uterus, which normally is a small ball, a ball about the size of your hand, it's forward. It angles forward right near at your bladder, pressing a little bit on your bladder. But it's very common with all the jumping and that the uterus tips backwards. When it tips backwards, it presses on the colon. And when the period begins to happen, the uterus swells and it puts pressure on the colon, which can do one of two things. It can create constipation, or the motion of the uterus during the menses, during the bleeding, can stimulate the bowel to create diarrhea. So there you are in the middle, one or the other, but monthly, it's very, very common to see changes in your stool. And you know what, Carol? I have many women that come into the office and for medical treatment of any kind, different kinds, and they never even mention that they're constipated. That's just part of their life, and they never mention it as a problem or a health problem. I literally have to request the information because, what does that have to do with anything? But yet, you know what, Carol? It has to do with everything.
Well, it sure does. Peter the Great actually was chronically constipated and, in fact, died when his bowels became so impacted he couldn't move his bowels. Mao Zedong had chronic constipation. So it really makes me wonder how our bowel movements have affected our history.
when you're so angry.
Right. So I think this is really interesting. I wanted to go back to, I mentioned in inflammatory foods, I wanted to name some. Milk and gluten are right at the top. Soy, sugar, heavy sugar diet, but even nuts, grains, and shellfish can irritate the intestinal tracts for some. And avoidance of these foods can be helpful in that case.
So I also want to talk about the color of stool. Many people don't want to look at their stool. I always look. I always check. It's sort of like I'm checking in on my health when I look at my stool. And before I go into this, I want to give out the number 212-209-2877. What's going to happen is people are all going to call in a little bit late, and then we're going to have trouble answering the questions. And I know people have questions about their stool and understanding their stool. But, and the importance of it is everything. Our bowels have a direct connection to our brain. When we're constipated, when we have diarrhea, we can have depression, we can have anxiety. Our bowels have a direct link to our immunity and literally right down to our ability to resist different cancers and our ability to respond to cancer therapies can be very directly related to the microbiome in our bowel, the bacteria and amount and relationship. So having healthy bowels is not just something that's fun. It's essential for our health, for our well-being, for our family's health. And so this understanding is important. The number to call, 212-209-2877. So there are things, sometimes the color of our stool changes, and it has different meanings and different signals. Black stools, usually they're a sign that there can be internal bleeding. It's not a total black stool, but it's black patches, and that's where the blood has oxidized and become old. So you want to watch it. If it continues over three stools in a row, then it'd be worth it to get checked up to see where it's coming from. It can be coming from a polyp. It usually, if it's coming from hemorrhoids, it's red rather than black. The black is more internal. But when we have a bright red poop or stool, you know, that can be very common. I remember my husband called me in. I've got bright red urine and bright red stool. What's going on? And I look at him and I said, last night we ate a lot of beets. So this is appropriate. And he goes, oh, okay. But then we have green stools. And I find that I get green stools when I drink green drinks. You can get green stools when your digestion is too fast or when you're getting diarrhea. But when you're eating lots of greens, then what happens is that very often you can then end up with a green stool. And Carol was talking about mucus, but guess what in the stool? But guess what?
What?
It's the collar. So I want to go right to the collar. Hi, you're live on BAI. Your name, please.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, yes. Hi. It's amazing how we can.
Would you please speak up? Speak up a little louder. Abnormally louder.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Much better. Thank you.
Okay. Yes. It's amazing how certain conditions seem to run in families too, and I think along the sexual line. I think my mother and I share a same system of usually being constipated, and then my daughter, and whereas my son was like his father and had easy bowel movements. So now as an adult, I think it's changed. But I noticed that I could have a magic formula, have water and lemon and then a cup of coffee and go, and I feel proud of myself, and it worked great for 6 weeks. And then I'm constipated again for a couple of weeks. Or it's not so easy. And I've gone away on trips and not having had a good bowel movement for weeks and yet not felt bad. So I guess it's stress. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be.
It's insidious. I'd like to maybe dip into something that we were going to go into, and it's transit time. How long are you supposed to have a stool go through the whole digestive tract? So when you're constipated, it's very, very slow. And when you're not having a bowel movement for 3 weeks, in the colon, this is what's actually going on. There's not enough fluid there. You get more and more dehydrated. But the bacteria that are normally in your colon will feed on carbohydrates preferentially. Those are the prebiotic things we were talking about, the sweet potatoes, and all sorts of products are on the market with inulin from artichoke and guaiacum gum from beans, and you could go on and on. So the bacteria has a preferential food, but as the bowel sits there, that as the time goes on, they run out of this sugar and these complex carbohydrates, and that's when they start digesting protein. And this is when you get bacteria using protein, you get byproducts like ammonia and sulfur. So now we're moving into the stinky poos then. And then as you continue to seek protein with those bacteria, it starts to actually create some damage in your colon walls by eating the mucus layer, actually. And once that's damaged, you can actually create some DNA damage. So it happens, and probably from stress in your case for the vacation.
I've been on trips where I was very diligent and drank so much water and ate all the right foods, ate all fruits that I don't normally eat, and I tried to stay away from coffee and things, and still, it was nothing. And I took some stool softeners, but I was scared of taking too many because I didn't want to have the opposite reaction, so nothing really seemed to work.
I always find that in traveling, an airplane ride will constipate me also. And I've heard that from a few people. You might want to take, and so whenever I travel, I take three things with me, because I assume that I'm going to feel constipated because I've traveled. So I take three things. I take magnesium. Mm-hmm. I take vitamin C. I don't know what happened. I'm sorry. And I take ox bile. And I take those three things. Ox bile. And I take those three things before bed to get my bowels going. And once they've started up again, even though I'm away from my home, they maintain. Something's making me sneeze in this room. I apologize.
Okay.
Carol,
all right. I'll take it. I think, thank you for your question, caller. We do have another one holding.
Hi, you're live.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Can you speak a little bit louder?
Okay. Hi, ladies. Thank you for the conversation. Just a question. I had recently a colonoscopy, and as a result, the doctor asked me if I take laxatives, right, which I really don't. And so I told him no, because he asked me if I took laxatives. But in reflecting, and the reason that he asked me that is because he said what they saw was something called melanosis on the lining of my colon. Are you, ladies, familiar with that?
Yes, that with laxatives.
But can I say this before? Can I say this before you go on?
Yes,
no,
sure.
I told him no, because when he said take laxatives, my mind automatically defaulted to doing it orally. But what I do is I do colonics and I do enemas myself, right? So because he said that this condition can come from the taking of laxatives. So
how
I was
often do you do the enemas
the colonics?
Colonics.
Basically on the changing of the seasons.
You know what? And with, so that's four times a year?
Basically, maybe a little bit. Yeah, I would say to round it off, yeah.
Okay, well, I must tell you, that does not create changes in the intestinal wall. Four times a year is not a problem. The type of laxatives that create those changes are people who chronically take laxative daily. And what happens is you see changes in the mucus lining and you see changes in the wall of the intestines because of the pressure of the laxatives. So in terms of what you would want to do, this shouldn't be, this normally it's not a problem, it's just an observation, it's not a problem, and the doctor often will then request or discuss ways to get your bowels moving easier without having to resort to laxatives. So like I said, I would do something personally like ox bile. That will not create
those changes. Can you elaborate
on
what that is?
Pardon?
Can you elaborate on what that is?
It literally is exactly what it says. It's the bile from an ox or a cow or a pig. And once what often is happening is your body is not excreting enough bile to allow the digestion to take place, to allow the bowels to respond normally. So go on.
You can also take bitters. Herbal bitters are found in many, many cultures, and that stimulates your own bile production. That's what it's intended to do. So it's a nice pre-meal kind of thing. I'd like to jump in here. You introduced the idea of colonics, and I think we should discuss it. There are many places offering colonic hydrotherapy, which just is simply the introduction of fluid into the colon and allows you to get rid of accumulated fecal matter that you haven't been able to pass very well. Sometimes these are accompanied by putting some other things in it with the colonic. You can put ozone there. You can put coffee. It's an alternative to a coffee enema. You can put green things like cilantro to help mop up toxins. Corinne, what do you think about colonics? In my husband's office, we offered them. It was quite remarkable in some patients. It just really gave them a huge boost forward. What's your opinion about colonics?
Exactly what you said. But as a regular mode or means of passing bowel, I think that's not the way it's really, that's abuse of colonics. I think that using colonics, like getting a series of one a week for 4 to 6 weeks, as your bowels are normalizing, can be very effective. But regularly, consistently, it's another form of laxative, through the rectum. It's a different form of laxative. Now, with that said, I'm going to say a caveat. Like, what we have is very often when we're treating cancers, a very effective treatment can be coffee enemas. When we're dealing with chronic diseases, a very effective treatment can be coffee enemas. So if we're dealing with something that needs to be treated, we can do it as a more regular, but it's a therapy. It's not a day-to-day management of normal bowels, and we understand that. And it can be an incredibly effective therapy. But even still with that, you're going to need to work with your digestion so that you don't need these constantly. Carol?
Yes, and I was always just thinking about the high enemas. And I think our caller mentioned using enemas regularly. I did do a 14-day juice fast with Dr. Gabriel Cousins, and that was part of our therapy. We were drinking vegetable juices every day as our only intake, and we did high colonics, which simply means a longer tube to insert. And we did that every day for 14 days as part of a detox program. Was not something that you should continue. One of the things, if you're doing colonic hydrotherapy, your therapist should be massaging your abdomen, because that is so beneficial. Corinne, you brought up lymph before. That's helping you move your lymph as well as helping break up the accumulated stool in there. And I'm trying to think of what is the yoga thing. It's a yoga exercise where you pump your abdomen. And that also is very good, moves the lymph, but also helps stimulate the movement of a stool down your colon. So really important things. I'd like to jump into talking about transit times. I just mentioned how important it was, but you can do your own transit time tests at home. And probably many of you have seen this. You eat corn or beetroot, or you could use red food coloring. You can use charcoal. In the medical industry, they actually use radioactive treated things so they can follow it with an x-ray. And what you mark with these tests is you take the time that you've taken those foods in, and then you watch your stool, and then you record the time that you have the first evidence of the color change or the corn in the stool, and then you continue to watch your stool, maybe even for the next 5 days, because it gives you information. How long does it take you to completely eliminate it? So there's two kinds of transit times. There's the first measurement when you first see it, and the second measurement when you see the last of it, you see no more. So the early transit time should be in the area of 12 to 48 hours, and I believe up to 70 hours for that second transit time. This gives you information. Like I said, the transit time in the colon, the more time it takes, the more problems it's creating with your body, even if it's subtle, that stool sitting in the bowel, it has toxins that are reabsorbed. It gets harder and harder to pass because fluids are retained in the body and not inside the colon anymore. So it really creates a longer and longer problem. So it's very interesting. You can do that yourself. So what are things that change the transit times? One is females have a longer transit time in general, and average is 47 hours, and men are 30 hours. That's interesting. Here's an issue we haven't discussed yet, a disease state like diabetes. We know that diabetes is got a strong impact on our neuronal system if we start having tingling in our hands and feet. It's one of the things to look out for. But diabetes, that same nerve insensitivity that's starting to happen, with your hands and feet. It's going on in your colon as well. So your bowel is less stimulated by the food and the waste going through the gastrointestinal tract.
You know,
go ahead.
Oh, we have another caller.
Oh, good.
I would like to talk about some of the diseases in the bowel.
Yes.
That will change our bowel. So, hi, you're live on BAI. Please speak up.
Hi, this is Matt. You hearing me?
Yes.
I am, but I would love it a trace louder, if you don't mind.
Okay. This is better.
Yes.
Okay.
Formula I saw, I was in Whole Foods, saw this jar on the shelf. It had apple cider vinegar, it had lemon, cayenne, and honey. It was $18.
Sorry, I lost you. Go on. It had lemons, cayenne, and what else?
Apple cider lemon, vinegar.
Cayenne, apple cider vinegar, and honey.
And honey.
That sounds like what they call the master cleanse.
And so I just said, I bought a bottle of apple cider vinegar, and I just poured some in a glass, poured some lemon juice in there, and filled the glass up with clean water, and drank it down with a couple of cayenne capsules, and took some honey with it.
Uh-huh.
That is very effective. Very effective.
For passing bowel?
Yeah. There's also a green puff. I'm sorry?
Yes. And Corinne said it sounds like the master cleanse. And I believe you can look that up, and it is very effective, and it's a wonderful combination. I'm so glad you called so we could make sure everybody has heard about this. Look for the master cleanse. Or just what our caller has said, apple cider vinegar, clean water, some lemon, and swallow some cayenne pepper capsules.
And that could very effectively move you right through. So I wanted to talk about what happens when the stool stays in the colon for too long. A couple of things that can happen is what you call diverticulitis, where the stool isn't passing. So it's literally these little pockets form where it's pushing out the wall of the intestines, and fecal matter gets stuck there and it becomes inflamed. It's a very painful condition, and it's very much and very often directly based on constipation. That the stool isn't moving through, you have to push too hard to get it to move, and the bacteria is sitting there too long in these small pockets and inflaming the intestinal wall. And if those pockets burst, now we have a very serious other problem. So diverticulitis can be a very significant symptom of severe, constant, chronic constipation with pushing, and also a consequence of a low fiber diet. Very, very important. But then there's another thing, and it's called megacolon. And I see this in young women, that the stool has sat there too long and it's accumulating and accumulating and accumulating and filling the colon. And what are we dealing with? The colon is just a circle tube of muscles. Well, when there is so much fecal matter in there, the muscles begin to stretch. And when they continue to stretch and stretch out, they have no more ability to contract and push the stool out. And then you have some very serious, you had a chronic problem, but now you've got a very serious chronic problem because your colon is not able to move the stool through. So the big thing that you would do about that, and this is not something that takes 1 week to turn around, what you would do about that and about diverticulitis is keep your bowels moving. And seriously, keep your bowels moving daily. I personally love prunes also. Prunes and prunes juice can be very effective for some people. And another thing that can be very effective is, as a child, we used to boil some of our vegetables. We used to boil broccoli. We used to boil spinach. And over the broccoli and spinach, we would put olive oil and garlic. Then we would pull the vegetable out, and there would be this little bit of fluid on the bottom of the pan. And we'd stand in line to be able to drink it. We loved it. We loved the flavor. Even the kids loved it. And the end result is it just helped our bodies clean right out. We'd eat the vegetable, we'd drink the fluid, and we would clean right out. So there are many methods to maintain clean and healthy bowels. And guess what? I just looked up, and guess what time it is?
Yeah, close to the end. I want to sneak in one. Can I sneak in one last important thing?
Very fast, because I want to thank you and ask them to call and support WBAI. But go on, Carol, very quick.
Okay, so there's such a thing as a salt flush, and you can look it up on the internet. I believe it's 2 teaspoons of water in salt in a liter of water, but I could be mistaken about the composition. And you drink this all in one go. You can add lemon to it. But the concentration of the salt in this solution is such that your body does not absorb it. It stays in your colon. And it's like creating your own colonic hydrotherapy. In about half an hour to 1 hour, it can just move everything along because of all the water of that drink.
And it's best to take it first thing in the morning when you're
sleeping. Yes. Yes.
It's like flushing a toilet.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally, and your stomach is empty. If your stomach is full with food,
you can't do it.
Have the effect, not at all. So the number to call to support this listener-sponsored station, it's 212-209-2950. You know what you're getting. You know and understand that this is a contract that we have created between you and the producers and the station. So we want to thank you for listening. We want to thank you for your calls. I want to thank Reggie, the engineer, who makes all this possible every single week with all its bumps and warts and whatever. And I want to thank you, listeners, and make sure you call back next week, and we'll be here. This is Take Charge of Your Health. Thanks, Carol.
Thanks, Corinne.
I learn. It's always a